We are so blessed, Pastor Teresa, Pastor Scotty, Pastor Travis, you and your wife and your leadership team. Thank you guys so much for having us here. Friday night there was like some hard ground and we had to plow a little bit. We had to break up some hard ground because, like Pastor said, sometimes we can wind up in a rut. You know what I'm saying? We can wind up doing the same thing over and over and over again, and in some ways we can get comfortable doing those things. And comfort sometimes can be the enemy of what God wants to do next in our lives. And that's been true in my life and for my wife as well, as when I begin to feel comfortable and I begin to get, I begin to relax a little bit. And when I get comfortable and things are going really, really good, and it's not that I'm expecting something bad to happen, but it's almost like my faith starts to go down a little bit because things are just moving smoothly, you know? And that happened to us a little bit recently because we started a business. The business prospered. It accelerated really, really fast. I'm talking about within 2 months, we were making $70,000 a month. All glory to God. And the money that was coming in consistently, we were paying ourselves a salary. It took care of all of our bills, and we had some extra. And I can't lie to you guys, I started to feel comfortable. I didn't have to believe God for very much in our finances. And I'm not going to go very deep into the story, but I will say this, God changed that, amen? He shifted that. But we had to say yes to the shift, amen? We had to say, yes, God, we will take you at your word by faith. We lay hold of the promise. We know you're speaking this to us. By faith, we are going to take the next step. Amen? And I think that's what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Is he saying, guys, comfort can be your enemy. Especially when I'm calling you to take the next step in your walk with me. When I'm calling you to step out on faith, when I'm asking you to do things a way you may have never done it before. When I'm asking you to lay things on the altar that you've had in your life for a while that may have been a blessing in one season, but in this next season, God is saying, that might not be what I have for you. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but have any of you guys ever seen the meme before with Jesus and he's holding a big old teddy bear behind his back and he's asking the child for the little teddy bear? And he's saying, if you'll give up that little teddy bear, then what I have for you is so much bigger, so much better, and so much more blessed, you will not regret it. But we first have to be willing to give up that little teddy bear first so that we can receive all that he has for us. Amen? With that being said this morning, the first thing I want to do is I want to just stand in agreement in faith with you and your wife. I wanted to ask if you would get your wife and come up here for just a second. We know what it is to believe God for children. They're an inheritance from the Lord, and they are such a blessing. And they're challenging, too. But it's good. It reveals things inside of us and causes us to increase in our maturity in the Lord because we realize, man, I'm selfish. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning and my baby's crying and he wants a bottle, I don't feel like getting up and going to make the bottle. But yet I'm compelled by the love as a father, as this child is dependent upon me to make sure it has everything that it needs. I'm compelled by my love to resist what my flesh is telling me to do and get up anyways and go in there and fix the bottle. Amen? There's times when he's screaming, he's mad, he's this and that, and I have to humble myself and realize I'm not dealing with a man here or a woman who I can correct and then send them on their way. No, I have to teach and steward this young little life and raise him up and pour into him bit by bit by bit, and they're at that age where they don't understand hardly anything. But they're also at the age where he just started walking and he's got a little bit of autonomy and he don't want to be in his little pen no more. I mean, he's trying to stick his leg over the edge. He's trying to crawl out of there. He's in all the drawers, all the cabinets. You guys know. Amen? So then you have to do things around your house that you weren't doing before because he gets his little hands and everything. You got to put little things on all the plugs to protect his little fingers because he sees a little slot in there. He's like this. And I'm like, you will get electrocuted, son. So you have to buy those little things to put in there, amen? You have to do things that you didn't do before because it's a new season. And what God has for you may be uncomfortable and it may not be convenient even. Nonetheless, it will strengthen you and increase you in your maturity in Christ. We're being conformed into the image of Jesus from this time until the day that we leave this earth, from the time that this earth suit perishes and this flesh goes away and then we go on into eternity with Jesus. We are consistently and daily, if we put in the work, being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. So, faith, we want to stand with you guys. And I wanted to see if my wife could just lay hands on your womb. Because you're not the first person. Let me just say it like this. So, just, I want you to increase your faith right now. My wife has laid hands on many women. And guess what? Some of them actually got pregnant. Hallelujah. So, go ahead, baby.
I just want to share something right quick. Yesterday morning, as I was preparing for last night, the Lord said he was opening wombs. And honestly, I forgot. In my humanity, I forgot last night. But then you shared this morning, and the Lord wants to do it. And so I also want to share another testimony. A good friend of mine, 7 years, her and her husband were trying. And I laid hands on her womb, and all glory to God. But she got pregnant not even a couple months after. And so we're standing in faith. The Lord is going to do it. So if you don't mind, come on up here.
And this is biblical. It's not that we have power, but the Bible clearly says, call those things that are not as though they were. Amen? So if you guys would just stand in agreement with us. Stand and add your agreement that this woman of God, this man of God will receive a child in that womb right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. And Johnny, come here for a second, brother. The Lord's not done with you right quick. I just want to share something with you real quick, brother. God has been highlighting you this whole weekend to me. God has been highlighting you, man of God. And I believe the Lord is saying that it's time for you to rise up to the next level in what God has called you to do in your ministry. I don't know, do you feel led to do evangelism? Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I just want to just affirm that what the Lord is saying to you is, my son, it's time to go up to the next level. It's time to increase and take that next step of faith so that you can come up a notch in maturity in Christ and in the giftings that God has given you, because he's placed talents in your hands and you want to make sure that you multiply them. And there's times that God will tell us to do things and we don't even know what to do yet next. But if you will seek the Lord and pursue him with your whole heart, he will reveal to you what's next. Amen? Amen. So, I bless you, my brother. And I would just declare over you right now in Jesus' mighty name that it is your season for your increase. Not only in your intimate fellowship with Jesus, but also in your gift of the Holy Spirit, that God, whatever gift it is he's placed on your life. It's time, the Lord says. It's time for you to step up and step out in Jesus' mighty name. You are entering a new season. Just as the season is changing from winter into spring, the people of God are changing from what they were last season to who they are in this next season. So we receive by faith, Father God, the faith, the finances, the resources, the new mindset, the new revelation that he needs in order to increase in this next season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You guys are going to be a great blessing in this house. Pastor Scotty, those two are going to be an amazing blessing in this house. I see you doing evangelism. I see it. As a matter of fact, I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to invite him to the fire camp. Just very quickly, a fire camp is a 6-day training by the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke, Christ for All Nations. And it takes people and it equips them for evangelism. And it's a 6-day training that's very, very intense. My mom's actually going to one in a couple of weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so after we finish this meeting, I would like to just meet with you and Pastor Scotty for a minute, just give you some of the details. And if you feel led by God to go there, then you could be the one who's driving forward the outreach teams in this house until God reveals to you what's next. Amen. Because like I was saying the other night, there has to be someone who takes charge. Pastor Scotty, he can't do everything. Pastor Teresa and Scotty, they can't do everything. That's not how the fivefold ministry works. The fivefold ministry operates like this. They have an apostolic call on their life. an apostolic grace. They plant, they disciple, they raise up. And then if you pursue the Lord like they teach you to pursue the Lord, then there are manifestations and there's signs that this is your gifting. And every believer, until they find out what their gifting is, they should be preaching the gospel to the lost. The Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he didn't immediately become an apostle. No, he actually took up the great commission of Jesus Christ, and he began to go and preach the gospel. He began to go and teach the gospel, the word of Christ. And he was an evangelist for 14 years or something like that. And then one day the Holy Spirit said, set aside for me Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, I can't remember which one it was, Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry, because they had been called apostolically at that moment. But he was an evangelist for many, many years. Hallelujah. So the way that Christ designed it is that every gifting will begin to manifest itself after a period of time once you start to be obedient to the Great Commission. Amen? So if you get equipped to preach the gospel and you go out and you just start winning the lost, which is very, very important to God, then he might wind up putting you in the office of an evangelist, or he might wind up raising you up with a pastoral gift, or with a prophetic gift, or an apostolic gift. But it all starts with the obedience to the Great Commission. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to get to this in just a second, but I just feel the leading of the Lord to just speak to you guys this morning. The eyes of the Lord are upon us right now, church. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the earth right now. He's looking within the heart of every person in this building right now. He's looking for someone in Blountsville, Alabama. He's saying, it's time for me to move in Blountsville, Alabama, but can I find a people that will respond to my word? He's searching the hearts of the ones in here who pursue him with their life. I said it the other night in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, and this the context of that scripture is actually used because in that time Israel was looking for somebody. God was looking for somebody to do something on behalf of Israel. But a few months ago, I began to pray and say, Lord, is it okay for me to use this scripture for today? Are you still searching, Lord God? Are your eyes still roaming to and fro throughout the earth? Are you still looking within the hearts of man in certain regions and certain places where there's been people praying and plowing for many, many years? Are you still searching for someone whose heart is blameless before you, that you might give strong support to those people? And the Lord said, now, my son, even more than I was then, now more than ever because of the urgent hour that we're in, now more than ever before on the earth, I am searching. I'm looking within the hearts of man. I'm looking for those who will respond by faith and answer the call of God on their lives. You see, there's not one person in this room. I'll say it again. There's not one person in this room that does not have a call of God on your life, that God does not have an assignment for your life. Now, it's not going to look the same as everybody else's. And comparison can be a snare for the people of God. So I want to make sure I'm very clear on that. Comparison will cause you to fall if you look at what your brother's doing or what your sister's doing, or if you look at all these YouTube ministries. They're doing great things for God, but if you look at where you are as compared to them, it will be a snare unto you. And the Lord is saying to his people, don't look to the left or to the right, but look forward to where I am, because I'm the one who's going to reveal to you where you should begin, what you should begin with, and how you should do it. Amen? God is handing out mantles in this hour. He's always handing out mantles, but there are also certain time periods within humanity. There are certain times in the earth where all of a sudden the prayers of the saints have come together. There's a surge of the prayers of the saints that have been collecting in the heavens for many, many years now. And there is a moment where the Lord is going to pour out his spirit upon the earth. He has poured it out, he is pouring it out, and he will pour it out. Amen? So we're in one of those times where you're going to see an increase in what the Lord's always willing to pour it out. What he's looking for is men and women who are willing to receive what he has and actually say yes to the call. Amen? So we're in a moment of time where literally there are nations that are hanging in the balance. America is hanging in the balance right now. Why? Because of all the perversion, all of the sin, all the wickedness that we have put up with for so long, that we have tolerated in this nation for so long. And God is saying, your nation hangs in the balance. And the Bible is very clear. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wickedness and pray. So there has to be a humbling. You have to say, okay, Lord, we're definitely not going in the direction that you had for our nation. Lord, we're definitely not doing what you've asked us to do. Lord, we're not seeing what you said we could see in the earth right now. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite is taking place in our nation. There are things that are going down left and right. So if we would humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, we don't have it all figured out. Okay, Lord, maybe we shouldn't have allowed abortion. Lord, maybe we shouldn't have allowed the LGBTQ to raid all of our education systems. Lord, maybe we shouldn't have allowed this. Maybe we shouldn't have tolerated that. Maybe we should have spoke out as a voice of truth and said, no, I don't hate you, but I cannot tolerate what you're teaching to the young people in our nation. No, no, no. We do not stand for it. We stand against it as a voice of truth for God in this time period. The church went silent. And that's why we are in the pickle that we're in right now. It's because the body of believers, the one who God gave the authority in the earth, Jesus said, all authority and power in the heavens and on the earth have been given unto me. And then he said, I'm going to give it to you that you might rule and reign in the earth, that you might be a king and a priest unto our God here in the earth before you leave. That you might occupy until I come back. Amen? So the Lord is saying it's actually what takes place on the earth is up to us. We can bind things or loose things and they will be bound in the heavens or loosed in the earth. You understand what I'm saying? We have the victory. Christ paid for it all. We don't have to fight the devil. We can just leverage the victory that Christ already gave us on the cross. He went and took the keys back. Guess what? The devil can only have what you give him. Wow, you mean the devil's not really a big obstacle? No, the devil is not a big obstacle unless you think he is. If you believe in your mind that Satan is a big obstacle, then guess what? Your faith causes him to be a big obstacle. But if you read the Word of God, the Bible says that Jesus won the victory over him 2,000 years ago. And all authority and all power have been given unto Jesus, who's been seated at the right hand of the Father. And we are the body of Christ. So that means we have all that he has. So no, the devil is not a big problem unless we allow him to be a problem. The big problem is us, ourself, our flesh, our unrenewed mind, our unwillingness to pursue the Lord, our unwillingness to study the Word of God, our unwillingness to have faith that the Bible is true. That's the obstacle that we're dealing with right now. The pleasures of the flesh. That's the number one obstacle that we have. And the Bible teaches us what to do with the flesh. You can't cast out the flesh, amen? You've got to crucify the flesh. You've got to fast. You've got to tell your stomach, no, you will not get what you want today. I'm teaching you. You ain't teaching me. I'm leading you. You ain't leading me. Amen? And so the Lord is speaking to every one of us in here, including myself, including my wife. He's saying, can you not hear the prophets all over the world saying the same thing? Right now is the time that you need to rise up in Christ. Right now is the time that you need to accept the call of God on your life. Right now, if never before, right now is the time that you need to say yes and be obedient to the Great Commission, the call of God on every believer's life. Now is the time. Amen? And then what comes along with that when God is saying now is the time, now, and there's an urgency. There are prophets who receive it the wrong way and they begin to prophesy with fear attached to the words that they're speaking. But I'm here to tell you guys that God said, I did not give you a spirit of fear, so you don't have to keep it. For I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, full stop. God desires for every one of you to be aware of the power that you carry in Christ Jesus. Amen? Power for what? Power to be a witness of who he is to the entire world. power to be a voice of truth in a generation of darkness. Power men to be defenders of everything that is righteous and innocent and pure and undefiled. Power. He gave us power over the devil. He is under our feet. He is not the issue here. We are the issue. And then we blame it on the devil, but the devil has no power other than that what we give him. See, God gave dominion to mankind. And that was an eternal command. He will never go back on his word. That's why he had to destroy the earth, because he couldn't go back and take the dominion back. It was an eternal covenant he made with humanity. He said, I give you dominion over the earth. Subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply, like it says in Genesis. And so with that being said, the Lord said, human beings are humanity. We are the ones responsible for the way this earth looks each and every day. Our flesh, our wickedness, our decisions, our selfishness, our lust of our flesh, all those things have created an atmosphere in the earth that calls our flesh to be given over to all types of wickedness. But see, the Lord is saying now it's time for us to start to study the Word of God so that we understand the truth. See, the truth will make you free. Make you free from what? Make you free from your unrenewed mind. Make you free from every thought that you think the devil can kill you or stop you. Yes, he did come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he's been stolen, he's been killed, and he's been destroyed. Amen? See, Jesus came to overwhelm what's overwhelming you. Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you say to yourself, well, Lord, why? How come I don't have life and life abundantly? Because you, by faith, haven't laid hold of the promise that he made to you that you could have it. You don't really believe what this word says here. Because if you truly believed it, ask anybody who truly believes it, Pastor Scotty and Pastor Teresa, they really believe it. So they're laying hold of the promises of God for their life. They don't owe no man a dime. They own everything they have. And guess what? We can be the same exact way. Something has to click inside of each and every one of us to where we begin to set our face like flint, and we are determined within ourselves, no matter what, no matter what the obstacles look like, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what I think, even my mind has to come into alignment with the Word of God. Amen? And so God is speaking to us right now, church. He's saying, guys, I'm pouring out my spirit. It's one of those moments in time where I'm getting ready to do something so amazing in the earth. The greatest revival the earth has ever seen. The third great awakening is we're already in it, guys. We're in it already. The infant stages have already begun. We can live a life of revival every single day. Every person in this room can cast out demons and lay hands on the sick that they might recover. With that being said, the Lord says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. That's been the issue for centuries. You see, the Lord will pour out his spirit, but that's not enough to shake things. The Bible's very, very clear that when he pours out his spirit, the next step is we have to prophesy. He pours it out. We have to respond by faith and begin to prophesy the word of God. Amen? If I can I have Acts chapter 2, verse 11 through 21? Now, guys, this is right after the Holy Spirit, the promise, had come into the earth. Jesus had already ascended. This is the Apostle Peter. He said, both Jews and proselytes, Christians and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. All were amazed and perplexed. Everybody say perplexed. Saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. Everybody say, lift up your voice. See, that is your weapon in this hour. Your voice. Everybody says, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, use the voice that God has given you to release the word of God, to prophesy over a generation. Don't come into agreement with the fear mongering and the prophets who've come under a spirit of fear. Say, no, I prophesy that over the next 100 years, we will have 100 years of righteous leadership in America. We'll have a righteous president who's filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll have a righteous Senate, a righteous Congress. All these wicked organizations, all this stuff will fall in the name of Jesus. We don't want the people to perish. We want them to repent that they might be saved. Amen. But Peter, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he addressed them. See, they're thinking lies right now, and Peter's about to correct them. He used his voice to correct the lie. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Next scripture. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Everybody said the prophet Joel. See, Joel prophesied this in the Old Testament. And see, Peter was a student of Scripture. Hebrew children, they would learn Scripture. They would learn it, and they would do intense teachings when they were children to learn the Old Testament. So Peter knew that there was a prophecy, that what had just taken place, that this was the fulfilling of the prophecy. Amen. So Peter says, but what was uttered through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Pause. God is saying, I am pouring out my spirit on all flesh right now in America, in Israel, in all the nations of the earth. I am pouring out my spirit. Now here's our part. God's going to do his part. He always does his part. As a matter of fact, his part has been done and sealed and finished since the very beginning, before it all started. He prophesied the end from the beginning. The Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Pause. Now, this is what we're supposed to do when he pours out his spirit. Everybody say, this is my part. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So not only will God pour out his spirit, but we, the people of God, have an option. Either we cannot respond, or we can sense, we can perceive, we can be like the children of Issachar who could discern the times, and we can say, whoa, hold on a second. I can perceive by the spirit that God is pouring out right now. And so what do I need to do? I need to spend some time with them. I need to be in intimate fellowship with them. Why? So I can begin to prophesy the word of God into the nation, into my community, into my church, into my family. Amen? And your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Next. And on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. He says it twice. So he's telling you, in case you didn't hear me the first time, let me tell you again after I tell you all the stuff that's going to happen. If you receive by faith my pouring out of my spirit and you begin to prophesy and speak the word of God into the earth. Amen. You shall prophesy. Now, prophesying doesn't always mean that you're just foretelling events of the future. That's not all that prophecy is. Prophesying is this. You're a mighty man of God. God called you to be a warrior. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm speaking the word of God over you in a way that edifies you and builds you up. Amen? I'm saying, I don't care what it looks like in the government right now. I'm telling you, there's going to be a president that gets elected who is filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. And guess what? He is going to seal the fate of our nation for 100 years. And people say, well, you're crazy, man. There's no evidence of that. Exactly. There's no evidence of any of this stuff. At the time that this happened, guess what? There was no evidence. There was persecution that was coming upon the church in ways that we have never seen persecution like this before. There was no evidence that, guess what? God is about to move. Nonetheless, the word of God being prophesied through his sons and his daughters, that's what begins to lay the path for these things to take place. Amen. And I will show wonders in the heavens and above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes. Everybody say, before the day. Before the day of the Lord comes. He's telling us something here. Pay attention, church. He's saying, before I come back, this is going to happen. So what does that say to us right now? That's saying, we should expect a mighty move of God to take place before Jesus returns. Amen? A mighty move of God in the earth before the Lord comes back. Because the Bible also tells us, gives us other clues. Yeah, we don't know the day or the hour, but we will know the season because of some of the things he told us to look for. Amen? And see, here's the thing, is that a lot of people read the book of Revelations through a lens of fear, and they're scared because of all the wild stuff that it talks about. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, and you've been renewing your mind, and you've been spending time in his presence every morning, and you've been waking up, and you've been pursuing God with your whole life, and you've developed a relationship with God, then you begin to understand. You begin to understand that that is the most victorious book you can read in the entire Bible, just about. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm fired up.
I'm fired up.
I'm fired up. Come on. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Amen. Now I want to go back right here for a second. Before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when I read that, I can see just beyond the text, and I see right here what the Lord is saying. He's going to begin to pour out his spirit. We're going to begin to prophesy the move of God in our nation and in the nations of the earth. Very, very, very powerful things are going to begin to take place. A move of God like the earth has never seen. And then there's a huge evangelistic explosion that has to happen before the day of the Lord. Amen? Because he says right there that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And guess what? The Bible also tells us that if you don't preach, they can't hear. And it also says, unless the gospel of this kingdom goes unto all the ends of the earth, then the end shall come. So if you take the Bible in context, you got to be seeing right here, okay, listen, I shouldn't be in fear whatsoever, because what we're about to see right now, it's not the end. We've got some more things to see. The movie's not finished yet. The final credits can't roll yet. Why? Because there's a huge harvest that God's people have been commissioned to go and win on behalf of the kingdom of God. Amen? So why is he pouring out his spirit? He's pouring out his spirit to empower the sons and daughters of God in the earth. It is supposed to empower us. It's supposed to speak to us, to minister to us, to give us grace that we might make the decisions that we need to make in order to take the next step so that we might see this come to fruition in our land. Amen? That's what God is saying here. He's saying there's going to be a mighty revival that takes place. There's going to be a final great awakening that takes place. Guess what? You have now entered the showdown for the final harvest. This is the time period we're in. And I'm not going to get all theological on you guys right now, but there's a theological term called the kingdom age that happens right before the end. And during the kingdom age, the theologians say that the bride of Christ will become the most dominant, the most powerful, the most respected, the most feared people on the entire planet for a period of time and a season before the devil is given his power to do what he does in the end. Amen? How many of you guys, if you believe this, say, I believe. Say, I am the one that the Lord is talking about right now. Because guess what? You could have been placed here in any period of time that the Lord would have had you to be placed here. But guess what? You were placed here right now in this time period. You were placed here for the final showdown, for the final harvest. You were placed here to witness the greatest move of God the earth has ever seen. And the earth has seen some mighty moves of God. So this should stir something in the heart of every person who calls themselves a Christian. Now is your time to shine in the earth like you never shined before. Not you, but Christ in you. But you. But not you, Christ in you. But it's you. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. We're not doing it for our glory. But God just so happens to use men and women, humans who say yes to him, who may be ordinary men and women before God gets a hold of them, but after God gets a hold of them, ordinary people can do extraordinary things in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this speaks of a mighty move of God. It happened already. It is happening right now. And it will happen again. Amen? That's how prophecy works. So how many of you would just be honest and say, when I'm spending time with the Lord, I perceive that there's something shaking in the spirit right now. I can feel it. I can sense it. I don't know exactly how to respond to it, but I sense something is going down by the Spirit of the living God. It don't feel like it's over with. It don't feel like we've lost. It don't feel like it's the end of everything. No, it feels the opposite. It feels like the victory of Christ Jesus. The fire of God is shut up in my bones, and I got to tell everybody about what Jesus has done. Amen? It's not over. I'm speaking to you, church. It's not over. Don't let people who are fearmongers, don't let the news lie to your face. It's not over. As a matter of fact, we're not going down, but we're going up. The people of God, you're not falling, but you're rising. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. This is your hour to shine. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Your good works. Why? Because you're obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, you do good works in the earth. Amen. That they might see your good works and give glory to our Father who's in heaven. So did you know that when you're obedient to God, that when you do good works on behalf of the kingdom of God, it brings glory to our Father? So another thing, and I want to break false humility off the church right now in Jesus' name. I break false humility off of the body of Christ right now in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, it's him who does it all. But he's a partnership between him and the sons and daughters. Amen? He can't do it unless you say yes. Somebody's got to say yes. Why do you think Noah preached the gospel for 120 years? He was looking for someone, anyone. He's a good father. He's a good God. He didn't want everyone to perish. He gave everybody 120 years to hear the message, and only one family responded. And because of that family, they are recorded in all of history to be the ones where humanity was regenerated, restarted, that the new beginning happened because that family believed. Amen? And guess what? We see their good works, and it brings glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, can you go to Revelation chapter 5 for me, sis? I'm going to go a little deep on y'all. Y'all cool with that? It's very important that we understand the victory that we carry. Why? Because there are people here in Blountsville, Alabama that have never known Jesus Christ as Lord. And we've got a people right here who are hearing a message directly from heaven saying, you're the one who's called to go. You're the one who's called to go. You're the one who's called to go. Unless you go, they won't hear. There are people who are depending, and they don't even know they're depending on you. Their soul, their eternity. If we believe the word of God like we say we do, then eternity should be an extremely weighty issue in our lives. When I was in Orlando last week, I was praying for this revival, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and I began to weep over Blountsville, Alabama. I wept bitterly. I'm talking about snot and tears everywhere. I wept over Blountsville. Because I saw in an instant, I saw a glimpse, I saw an image of the condition of the heart of the people in this city. And the Lord says, I've been trying to get people to go for 100 years in Blountsville. He said, but now there is a people who will go. And he said, so I want you to weep tears, because the Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, the Bible says when we weep, when we sow tears, then we reap a harvest. Amen. And so I cry over the lost at times. I weep because I understand the condition of their hearts and understand that eternity is real. And I understand that I have a responsibility as a believer to share the message that could shift their entire eternal destiny. And if I don't share it, then I'm going to have to be accountable to God. I'm going to stand before God one day. We are all going to stand before God one day. And he's going to say, you learned the message. You were taught by your pastor. Why didn't you open your mouth? That would be a dreadful thing to stand before God and have to give an account for. Because how many of y'all know that even if we're saved and we go to heaven, we still having to give an account for what we did with what God gave us? That's the parable of the talents. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5. Now, I want you guys to please pay attention, because this is going to be a very quick teaching. I've been praying and I've been reading the book of Revelations over and over and over again. Why? Because there are prophets who are prophesying under a spirit of fear. And they're trying to make everybody in Christ think that it's all over. We've been gone too far. This is World War III that's about to start. Well, I have a fresh perspective for you. As a matter of fact, this perspective is way better to have than the other one. Amen? So I'm going to prophesy. The Bible said that when he pours out his spirit, his sons and daughters shall prophesy. So I'm going to respond to the spirit of God being poured out with a contrary narrative. I'm going to speak against the narrative that's on the media, that's on the news, all around the world. I don't care who's speaking it. I'm speaking against it. If I'm the only one speaking against it, I'm going to speak the word of God forward. Amen. To give the people of God hope. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. Everybody say sealed with seven seals. Come on, you guys can do better than that. Sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Next verse. And one of the elders said to me, hallelujah, I'm so grateful that the elder told John that you can stop weeping. Amen. Hallelujah. There's one found worthy. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Pause. There is one who is worthy. Amen. Quick question. Is he worthy? Is he worthy in your life? Is he worthy of our comfort? Is he worthy of our sacrifice? Is he worthy of the pleasures of the flesh for us to put those things on the altar that we might live for an eternal purpose instead of just this worldly purpose that we live for? Is he truly worthy? That's a question that I ask myself quite often. Because I get comfortable. We all can do it. Pastor Scotty and Pastor Teresa, if they are not intentional, they could get comfortable. We could all fall into that comfort, that area of comfort, that rut where we're not really pursuing as much anymore. We're not being intentional about the things of God so much anymore because things have been going good. Things have been going smooth. And so we fall into that comfort. The Bible says, in between the throne and the four living creatures among the elders, I saw a lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As though it had been slain. With seven horns and with seven eyes. Now listen carefully, guys. I'm saying this here. There's a reason I'm sharing this with you guys. The Spirit of the living God quickened me a couple of weeks ago. And he said, this right here, this is the time. This is the moment that we're in right now on the earth. This right here, Revelation chapter 5. And I'll explain to you why I believe that's true. And the Bible says that as though it had been slain with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Pause. Before the end comes, like I was telling you guys, the Spirit of God will be poured out into the earth. Are you guys seeing the correlation now? In the heavens, the elder said, I see lamb standing as though he had been slain with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all of the earth. God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in the earth. Amen. So obviously the Lord is saying something. He's saying right here that once there is found one worthy to open the scrolls, once he receives the scroll, before he begins to break the seals, first and foremost, seven spirits of God are sent into the earth. Does that make sense to everyone? Are you guys catching the picture I'm painting here? Because the end is not yet. That's why I'm trying to share this with you guys. It's not time to lay down and wait on Jesus to return. No, the Lord is saying that his seven spirits have been sent into the earth. Hallelujah. Next scripture. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Before the scroll is even taken from the Father, he sends the seven spirits of God into the earth. The Spirit of the living God is poured out upon all flesh so that the sons and the daughters shall prophesy. That should get somebody in here excited. I don't know about y'all, but when I begin to think about and perceive what he's saying here, I get excited because I understand, I perceive, I realize God is saying that we are the ones that he's sending the seven spirits of God to minister to empower us to do the bidding of the Lord, to do his the Father's business in the final hour in the earth. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. Everybody say the prayers of the saints. This right here should make you excited, because there are thousands of years of the saints who have been praying for this time to come, and we are here on the earth right now in this time period. Amen. Next scripture. And they sang a new song. Everybody say new song. This is the song I prophesy by the Spirit of God to you guys. The new song that they're talking about, that's the song that we can perceive in the Spirit right now. That's what you guys are feeling. That's what you can sense when you say to yourself, hold on, it don't look like the end is over. No, I can feel the Spirit of God right now inside of me saying, it's not over. As a matter of fact, it's far from over. We have the victory. We're going to be victorious. We're going to see our children's children raised in a nation where God is on the throne. That's the song I'm hearing right now. Amen. Hallelujah. I prophesy to you guys right now that this is the time period that we're in right now. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and people and every nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God. Everybody say a king and a priest. He has made us a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Full stop. Now, if you go on to, you don't have to go there, but if you go on to Revelation chapter 6, that is when they begin to crack the seals. Jesus begins to break the seals on the scrolls, and that is when you start to see the horses ride in to the earth, and the end starts to happen with all the crazy signs and wonders that begin to happen in the destruction in the earth. So, as I was praying, the Lord said to me, this is the time period we're in right now. Jesus has just taken the scroll. He's been found worthy in the heavens. The seven spirits of God have been sent into the earth. Why are the spirits of God sent into the earth? To operate through the sons and daughters of God in this final hour, to empower us. Amen. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. That is where we are right now, church. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, is now becoming and has become the most powerful, the most dominant force in the entire earth. And I prophesy to you right now, what you're seeing happening in Iran is not World War III. It's not the end of everything. Actually, it's the opposite. It's that which is standing in the way of the gospel coming into every nation. That is what's falling right now. That regimes would not allow missionaries to come in there and preach the gospel. Well, guess what that means? Well, China, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, all these other nations with dictators that make sure that they keep the gospel out of their nation. Well, guess what? You need to be looking. Because the Spirit of the living God, he wants his harvest. He will have his harvest. We're going to be part of that harvest right now in the last days. I prophesy to every one of you guys. You are a harvester in Jesus' name. Before the end shall come, the people of God will be made a kingdom and priest to our God, and we will reign on the earth. The kingdom age is upon us. That is where we are. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about that. We are far from the end. The seals have not even begun to be cracked open yet. And Jesus has already given the elders of heaven a song to sing over the people of God on the earth. They shall reign. They're sending the seven spirits of God to assist us and to empower us with the grace of God to be obedient to his word, to prophesy that we might shake the nations of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Who in here would say that, you know what? I never saw it like that before, but I'm so glad you said something, because I was kind of concerned. Hallelujah. I was concerned when I heard a man of God who has a mighty influence begin to prophesy that it was over. I knew immediately something in my spirit said, something don't sound right with that. Something don't sound right with that. I've read the Bible. I know what's supposed to happen before the end comes. So I began to dig into the scriptures, and I said, I see something totally opposite. Then it's over. I see the people of God becoming the most powerful, dominant force on the entire earth. And that's the season we're in. Somebody say, I receive it. Like wide receivers on a football team. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you take us to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2? And you might be saying to yourself, well, what are the seven spirits of God? It's not seven different spirits. There is only one spirit of the living God. But it manifests in different ways, just like the fivefold ministry. There's the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So there are many different characteristics that the Spirit of God can manifest himself. And every one of them are righteous, and every one of them are just as powerful, and every one of them are him. Amen? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. First, everybody say, the Spirit of the Lord. That's number one. The Spirit of wisdom. Everybody say, Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of might. And the Spirit of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord. Amen? These are the seven spirits that are sent into the earth by the Lamb who was slain to empower the people of God in the final harvest so that they can have everything that they need. Resources, power, influence, so that they can be free from oppression from the devil. The spirit of counsel and might, that means you can listen and hear from God. And he can give you instructions on what you're supposed to do next. The spirit of might. The church needs the spirit of might big time, guys. I'm telling you. We need the spirit of might. The spirit of might is the same spirit that came upon David as he stood before Goliath. And they thought he was being prideful. His brothers rebuked him and said, what are you doing here? You prideful man. And David said, no, I'm not prideful. I just believe what the word of God says. I know my God. I know my Father. I know what he's capable of. That's how I can stand before you and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Amen? And I say that to the principalities and the rulers of wickedness over America and the nations of the earth right now. I say to them, you guys say this with me. Say, who are you? You uncircumcised Philistine. Come on, guys. Spirit of might. Come on. I need somebody to get with me on this. Amen. By faith, lay hold of this thing, please. Be with me. Can everybody stand up and say this with me? Come on. We're shaping nations right now in here, and we don't even realize it. Our words, we're prophesying. Our decrees, our declarations are what's going forth, the word of the Lord into the nation, and it's doing something. It's shaking things. The foundations are being shaken if you're willing to participate. Amen. So I want you to say, who are you? You uncircumcised Philistine. To defy the armies of the living God. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. See, this is what you have to rise up in. This is the spirit you've got to rise up in this hour. God is looking for those who are bold, who are fierce, who carry ferocity, who don't let fear bog them down, who believe the word of God, and who stand on the word of God and prophesy the word of the Lord over the country. Amen? We're not going down. Hallelujah. The ship is not going down. As a matter of fact, we burn the ships because all we can do is go after everything God has for us. Thank you, Jesus. Can we go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, please? Does this sound familiar to anyone? And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, there's an actual war taking place. Well, it's not really a war. It's just an all-out destruction. Oh, amen? It's actually not a war hardly at all. There is a wicked people who refuse to repent. Their heart is so hard that God can see in their heart and can say, man, they will never repent. They will never turn to me. They will never accept what my son Jesus did for them on the cross, and they will never receive eternal life. And God can perceive that in a man's heart. And so he looked at those people over there and he saw that there was nothing left there that would turn to him. And so the authority that God has given the executive branch of government in this nation, they took action. And the Bible says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, we have somewhat of a war going on, but then there's the rumors. This is what's stirring up all the fear. People are saying this is World War III. Oh, my God, it's the end. Can't believe it. Everybody should be building bunkers under your house and storing up food for years and make sure you got plenty of ammunition and plenty of guns. And you know what? Here in America, it ain't even got to be the end. We're going to have that anyway. Amen. Hallelujah for the Second Amendment. Amen. It ain't even got to be close to the end, but we're going to have that part anyway. Amen. But we ain't building no bunkers under no house nowhere. Amen. Because we know what the Word of God says, because he says very clearly. And most people will completely miss this next part and jump straight from the wars and rumors of wars. Oh my God, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. It's over with. It's the end. Hold on a second. Sit down until you study the Word of God a little bit more. The Bible's very clear. See that you are not alarmed. Everybody say, I am not alarmed. I am not alarmed. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Is that good news for anybody in here this morning? That should empower every person in here who calls themselves a son or daughter of God. You should say within yourself, you know what? It's not the end. I don't have to take fear upon me. I don't have to believe the report of man. I don't have to believe the media. I don't have to believe the news. You know what? I've got the good news. I don't need the media. I don't need bad news. I've got good news here. And this is the only news I need in my life. And the good news is that do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. Hallelujah. Can you go to Matthew 24, verse 14? Now, this right here is an indicator that we should actually be looking for. Amen? The Bible is very clear. And this gospel, everybody say, this gospel. The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Well, that's why you're seeing Iran. What's happening in Iran right now is because those people would not allow the gospel of the kingdom to be preached to their people. And this prophecy will come to pass. Amen. And so anything, listen to me, mark my words, anything standing in the way of this message, the message of the kingdom of God, the message of Jesus Christ, getting to the people who are alive on this earth right now, anything standing in the way, God will go to the ends of the earth. He sent his only son to die on our behalf. What do you think? He will not destroy an evil regime to get to millions of people? The spirit of might, amen? He weeps over the death of those who didn't repent. Yet, if they're standing in the way of millions of souls, he will do what he has to do, amen? Jesus is not some soft hippie from the 70s, this cool and tolerant of everything. He hates wickedness. He hates what it does to humanity. He hates sin. He hates things that separate us from him. And he was not easy on those people who would cause a stumbling block for those who are the people of God. Look at the Pharisees. He got with the people who were sinners or who were outcasts in that time period, and he taught them. He raised them up as disciples. But the people who were supposed to be the people of God, the people who were supposed to be responsible for those sinners and for those people who were the outcasts, the people who were supposed to carry the message that God had given them, had become something completely opposite of what he intended for them to be. And so he would say to them, you brood of vipers, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs. Now, if we talk to each other like that today, people get offended. It's not the Jesus everybody tries to paint the picture of, is it? No, as a matter of fact, the Jesus that we love and we know is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And if you make his father's house a den of thieves, he might just go outside and weave together a whip and come back in that thing and whip some people, amen? And flip some tables over. People forget about that part of Jesus. He didn't want those people to perish, yet they were causing people to turn against who God really is. They were painting a picture that this is what it means to serve God. And it was leading people astray by the droves. Woe to those who have a false gospel in this time period. Woe to those who preach some gospel that is not the real gospel in this time period. Woe to those who allow sin and tolerate wickedness and come into agreement with abortion and homosexuality and all those things. Woe to them in this time, in this hour. God's will is that none should perish. But if we, the people of God, tell people this is okay, sure, go ahead, do what you feel led to do, do what your feelings tell you to do. Woe to them. Why? Because there's a message that can instantly set a person free from all the darkness. All you got to be, listen, any person who comes in contact with an anointed man of God who's been in the presence of God, in an instant deliverance can happen on somebody. I've seen it happen. I've been a part of it happening. Amen? Nobody can tell me, well, I was born like this and I can't change. Well, you won't be born again. That. And I'm not just talking about the LGBTQ. I'm talking about sinners of all types. You may have been born into a family of addicts. Well, you won't be born again an addict. You might have been born into a family of alcoholics. You will not be born again an alcoholic. Hallelujah. All sin can in an instant be destroyed, and you can be born again because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross. I was a sinner, the wickedness, I was the most wicked of them all. And I encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, and every single bit of that wickedness was stripped away. And he didn't just take it from me. No, an old man had to die. There had to be a death and a new birth. And that's what happened in my life. The man who was so wicked, the man who was bound by addiction, the man who was bound by pornography and sexual immorality, the man who was bound by every wicked thing, he died. He received the death he deserved. He died a brutal death on that hospital bed. Oh, but there was a man who was resurrected also at the same time. Hallelujah. A man came alive also in that same process. And the new man prophesied immediately, Lord, I give my whole life to you. Everything, God. I don't want this life. I was about to take my own life. But since that man died, that's not the mindset I have anymore. Lord, I give you this whole life. Everything I am. All that I am, Lord God, I give it to you. You can have me. You can have all of me. I told the Lord, I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how many obstacles. It was hard out there being an addict. It's probably going to be hard serving God. It's hard every path you go down. There is no easy path. So you have to choose your heart. At least if you choose the path of life, the path of Jesus Christ, the path of salvation, the path of eternal life, at least on that path when it's hard, there are rewards that come along with it. Hallelujah. And this gospel, everybody say this gospel. The gospel, the good news that Jesus has been seated at the right hand of the Father. The good news that Jesus was dead and that he was rose, that God raised him from the dead. And that he's alive right now. And if you put your faith, you can lay hold of the promise of salvation by faith. The good news of the gospel must go to the end of the earth as a testimony to all nations. So what you're seeing right now is not what the narrative on the news says. It's not what the media is saying. It's not what social media is trying to make you believe. No, it's not the end. No, it's not World War III. What it is the beginning of the end. Amen? We will reign in the earth. Hallelujah. The bride of Christ will become without spot and blemish and wrinkle. The only reason the fivefold gifts were given to the church is so that we might mature into a mature man in Christ. That it would bring unity in the body of Christ. And how many of you guys would agree with me when I say the king is not coming back for a bride with spot or blemish? He's coming back for a bride without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. He's coming back for a powerful bride, a bride who is seated in their authority in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, who rules and reigns in the earth. Hallelujah. And then the end will come. So we've got a ways to go, church, which means we got some responsibilities. Amen? We've got some responsibilities. There are things that we need to do. What is it? Well, Mark chapter 16. This is the responsibility that God has given us since the moment he left the earth. And it still applies today. And I would say it applies even more today, because there is much more that is contending against the righteous things of God in this hour on the earth than there ever has been before. Because why? Because of social media and the reach, the far reach that everything is able to have these days. You can reach people all over the world with one little click of a button. Amen? So now it's even more important that we are obedient to this command. And Jesus said, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief. Lord, please rebuke me for my unbelief. If there's an unrenewed mind within me, an unrenewed mindset, I say to the Lord right now, and I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, say to the Lord, Lord, rebuke me if I have unbelief in any area of my life where there's an unrenewed mindset. Rebuke me, Lord. Correct me, Lord, as a good father would correct the son. Please, because I want to carry the fullness of what you have for me in this hour. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And this is Jesus. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And he doesn't say explain the gospel. He said proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel to the entire world, to the whole creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Next scripture. And these signs shall accompany those who believe. Pause there for a second. I want to look at every single person in this room. And I want to tell you something right now. When you are obedient to God to proclaim the gospel message, when you are obedient to God to share Jesus with someone else, when you are obedient to God to lay hands on the sick and command that that sickness leave their body, when you are obedient to God, you are not in your own strength. You are not by yourself. It's not how great you can be or how powerful you are. No, the Bible says, and these signs will accompany those who believe, that in his name they will cast out demons. In his name they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Next scripture. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Hallelujah. Aren't you guys so happy that we don't have to do this on our own? See, the Holy Spirit is the master evangelist. The Holy Spirit is the master pastor. The Holy Spirit is the master apostle. The Holy Spirit is the master teacher. The Holy Spirit is the master, what's the other one I missed? Prophet. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the power of God to manifest these characteristics through us as vessels on his behalf. Amen. And we don't have to do it on our own. So guess what? All those thoughts that you might have, all those anxious thoughts that you might have right before you're about to go on an outreach and preach the gospel to the lost, well, guess what? Every one of those thoughts, they're true to you in your unrenewed mind, but they're not true to the man who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? We don't depend on our own strength. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God that you will have what you need in that moment to speak and share the gospel message. Amen. When I think about my own ability to get up here and preach a message, I get worried. And you should be worried, because I don't have it within myself, the ability to preach or to share what God wants to share. But when I empty myself and I say, Lord, it ain't about what I think. It ain't about these thoughts. It ain't about how good I can do or my performance. It's about me emptying myself as a pure vessel that you might flow through me to these people. So I believe that you're going to speak to your people. Amen. Hallelujah. They went out and preached everywhere. Everybody say everywhere. Everywhere. It's time for a church to be radical again. Why don't y'all just march like an army across the whole city and just go everywhere and preach the gospel? Hallelujah. That's kind of how it works out over there at our church. We don't know where we're going. We just go everywhere. We'll pull up here, we'll preach the gospel. We'll win a couple souls. Then we'll go over here and preach the gospel. Then we'll go to the park. Somebody might say, well, let's go here. Then we'll go to Walmart. Then we'll go here. We'll go everywhere and preach the gospel, because there's eternal beings that need to hear it everywhere. Hallelujah. And the Lord will work with you. and confirm the message of the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? Now, who in here would like to pray a prayer and say, Lord, I have not been obedient to the Great Commission. I have not shared my faith with anyone. I've never won a single soul to the Lord. But how many of you would like to repent right now and say, Lord, I know your words has had the Great Commission in it for thousands of years. You told us to do it from the beginning when you first ascended, and it's still true today. But how many of you guys would be honest and say, you know what, I haven't done it because of fear. I haven't done it because of anxiety. I haven't done it because of laziness or whatever it might be. And I'm guilty of this too. I have to be intentional myself sometimes as an evangelist to stir the gift up in me and say, you know what, I hadn't preached the gospel in a week or two. Today somebody's getting the message of Jesus. And I don't feel like doing it all the time, but it ain't about how we feel, amen? It's about obedience to the Lord, and he will show up with signs. He'll show up with wonders. He'll show up with miracles to make sure that the message is confirmed in power. Hallelujah. If you want to pray that prayer of repentance, if you would, just please stand up. Hallelujah. If you want to repent and say, Lord, please forgive me. I hadn't been doing it. I haven't been doing it to the level you've asked me to do it. If maybe you've been doing it, but you haven't been doing it, there have been times when you clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, pray for that person or share with that person. And maybe you missed it on that one. Guess what? There's grace, there's mercy, because I've been the same person before. There's been very, very intimidating looking people that the Lord had asked me to share the gospel with before. And I know the Lord was telling me to share it with them. And I was intimidated because of how they looked. So I didn't do it. So I stand with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I say, I repent, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for my disobedience. You said you were with me and I don't have to do it by myself. And so from this day forward, I'm going to be intentional about being obedient to your word. I'm going to be intentional about being obedient to the Great Commission. I don't care what I might become a couple of years from now. If I'm an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, that doesn't matter. Until I get there, I'm going to preach the gospel message everywhere I go. And I trust you, and I lay hold by faith of the promise when you said you would be with me and you would confirm the message with signs and wonders and miracles. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm so proud of you guys for responding. I'm so proud of you guys for